We have been over the last bunch of weeks, except the last two, so we got some kind of catching up to do. We missed one Sunday because of snow back a few weeks ago. So we have actually, I was planning to finish this series in playing the What If game before the Christmas holiday, but we had the snow day and all that. And so we have this lesson, but then since then I've added one more. It was on my original list of the lessons for this series, and originally I took it out, but I've decided to put it back in. So we will finish this What If series next Sunday, Lord willing. Okay? So we've been talking about this What If game that we play, where there are scenarios that we play in our mind of what would have otherwise happened if. What if this, what if that kind of a thing. So in other words, what if I did this instead of that? What if this were to happen? What if it doesn't work? Then what are we going to do? What if they don't show up? Or what if he doesn't keep his promise? And we play that game. You know, have you noticed and really thought about it after we started this series, how often during the day that you actually play this game? You know, what if I do this? What if that? You know, we constantly are doing this and asking ourselves that what if question. Then after the fact, in other words, after everything is over with, we second guess ourselves by playing the Monday morning quarterback. So we ask ourselves things like, and we say, if I would have just done this instead of that, or if only they would have, and we second-guess ourselves and play it all back and wish that something would have been done different so that the outcome would be different. What if? Okay? If I had to do it over again, what if? What if? Well, here's a question for you. What if pigs really do fly? Okay? You know, there's one. Yeah, we say that all the time. Well, that'll happen when pigs fly, right? Well, what if they really did fly? You know, there's a what-if scenario for you to think about, okay? Well, what we've been doing through this idea of what if is playing the biblical version of the what-if game. In other words, basically looking at some biblical scenarios, some biblical issues in our lives, and asking that very same question, what if? And the idea behind this has been all about challenging us to ask those questions now, okay, while we still can, to play Monday morning quarterback now, while we still have the opportunity, so that when we stand in judgment before God, we don't find ourselves saying, if I'd only done, or if I only hadn't done, you see? So I'm trying to get you to play the what-if game now concerning the Scriptures and these issues in our lives, okay? So, for today, here's the what-if question. What if Jesus came today? That's a big one, isn't it? How often do you really think about that? What if he came today? Let's talk about that. You see, we live with this kind of motto, right? Life goes on, right? You know, it's 2019, the start of a brand new year, and what have most of us, if not all of us, have done? You know, we've made our resolutions, right? How many of you have made at least one New Year's resolution? Okay, a good many of you. For most people, you know what the number one resolution, at least this is what I've been told, what I heard, you know what the number one resolution is? Lose weight. Everybody wants to lose weight. I keep losing it, but then I keep finding it again. Maybe I need to alter that resolution. I need to lose weight and not find it again, you see? But we make our resolutions, don't we? We're going to change things in our lives, is really the idea. And so we resolve to do this instead of that, and so on and so forth. We make these resolutions, or, you know, we need to always try to encourage people. I ran across this. I was, you know, looking at some different slides, and I saw this. You notice there's the Christian New Year's resolutions. I'm not sure how that works when it comes to losing weight. Am I supposed to lose it differently as a Christian than I, you know, anyway. We have whatever your New Year's resolution list compiled of, I hope that you have success in it. But, you know, another thing that we do, if you don't make resolutions, how many of you got a new calendar for the year? Who got a new, yeah. You know, at the very least, look on your phone. You probably have one there, right? And you probably, how many of you have done like I've done and put on your calendar all the things that you've scheduled and planned to do for the next year? Anybody? See, I go by because what we've done, you know, here, if you've been in the men's planning meeting or the women's planning meeting, you know that we already have a church calendar. There's one on the wall in my office, and there's one on the wall in Judy's office, and they're both the same. We try to make sure we keep everything, you know, the same, so that we know what we have planned for the whole year. So we've already got it planned out. So we already know what you're going to be doing on certain dates, right? Okay? Because we've already planned it all. It's on the calendar, right? Now, though it's on the calendar, one thing that we've always said is that it's not written in stone. Our calendar is just, it's a write-on, wipe-off kind of a thing, so we can change things. But we've already got everything planned out for the whole 2019. Do you realize, those of you who don't, maybe didn't realize the process, we actually do that in November of the previous year. Okay? So we plan out the whole next year in November of the previous year, so we know what we've got going on. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No, I don't think so. If we don't have plans, then nothing's going to happen. So we plan some things and put things on the calendar, different events and things going on, so we have some kind of direction of what we're doing and so forth. But that's what we do, isn't it? We fill out our calendars of all the stuff that we plan to do and accomplish throughout the year. Because life goes on, right? I mean, after all, it's been 2,000 years, and Christ hadn't come back yet, so I don't really expect Him to come back in 2019 either, right? Don't know. But in the text that Chuck read for us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, Jesus talking about the coming of the Lord, that is, when He comes back again, He goes all the way back to the days of Noah. And He talks about that is it, as in the days of Noah, life just goes on. They were doing what? They were eating and drinking and they were marrying and giving in marriage right up to the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, life goes on. They were doing what they did from one day to the next without any real care about what was about to happen. Life goes on. And we kind of fully expect it to, don't we? You know, we live with this mindset that just as many of you responded, we don't know. We have that kind of on one side, but in reality, we don't really expect it to happen today, do we? And so life goes on, just as it did in the days of Noah. We know it could happen. Probably won't. Why? Because I got too much to do today. Right? Okay? Going over to the text, Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 says, the coming of the Son of Man will be just like those days in Noah. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And look at this last verse. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. But life goes on. They found out too late for them to be saved. Jesus goes on in the next couple of verses. There shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other one will be left. Two women shall be at grinding at the mill and one shall be taken and the other one left. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, talks about that very same thing. Here's how he writes it. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Doesn't that sound a whole lot like what Jesus said in Matthew 24? Two men will be out in the field, and one will be taken, the other one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, the other one left. When's that going to happen? The answer is, we don't know. We don't know. The reality is, okay, you know, again, this idea, it's all going to go on as normal. Business as usual. But Jesus is coming. And the only question really is, are you ready for that day to come? See, I think the problem is that most of us don't feel the sense of urgency that it really requires. See? And I think that's because we don't really think it's going to happen anytime soon. We say it could happen anytime soon, but we don't really believe that it will. So therefore, we don't feel the urgency even to be ready. But here is a warning. Don't let what happened to the people in Noah's day happen to you. Don't make the same mistake. Be ready. Because as Jesus says in his passage, you do not know the day or the hour. And our question is, what if he came today? Let me ask you to think about it this way for just a moment. You ever thought about what's stopping him? I mean, just let that sink in for a moment. What's stopping him from coming today? Is it your calendar that's all filled up with a lot of activity that you absolutely have to get finished before he gets here? No. No. In fact, the reality is that every single one of us will have stuff on our calendar that's going to be undone when the time comes. You see? And there's nothing stopping him from coming today, right now. You know, we joke about having the coffee and the cake before, you know, we have lunch today. And as I said, you know, the motto, life's uncertain, eat dessert first. And really it is, isn't it? We don't like to think about it that way, but, you know, is any of you promised lunchtime today? Anybody get that promise when you got up today? You're going to make it to lunch and, you know, no, none of us. So we eat the dessert first, right? Okay? Because we don't know. But let's go on to the next part that Jesus talks about in that passage. When I call it, just let's be prepared. Look at what he says here in this whole idea. Brian talked about the week before last about our CERT program. And the idea behind that is what? To be prepared. With the CERT program that the government does, it's to be prepared to be able to respond to any kind of an emergency that's going on. And we've taken that, and what our program is all about is to be prepared to save souls. You see? Be prepared to help people with their needs. By the way, Brian told me that he's got, what did you say, 12 bags? Brian's got 12 bags together. If you want to, you know, any of you who have the bags, you want to get some of those. He's got those. I guess they're in the back, Brian, in the room back there. But that's what that's all about. You see, is preparing, being ready ahead of time. When you see somebody out there that has a need, you've got some things you can respond to that need with. You see somebody and you're able to talk to somebody about the Lord and about the Bible, you'll have some things that you can respond with. You'll be prepared to do that. It involves training and teaching. That's another part of this whole thing. Bible classes that we'll be having to help people to learn. How do I share the gospel with people? How do I talk to people? What about people that are from this denomination or that denomination? How do I talk to them about God and about the Bible and those kind of things to help bring them to the Lord? So that's what this whole CERT thing is all about, is helping all of us to be prepared to do that, to be prepared to respond to the needs that we encounter with other people. Okay? So we need to be prepared. What Jesus says in this next section here, verse 42 to 44, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at which time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready," or be prepared, right? "For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." Wow, there's an eye-opener. Notice he doesn't say a day, he says an hour, okay? That's why I said earlier, you know, we don't think he's going to come today because why? We've got too much stuff on our calendar. At least could he wait until after lunch, right? And if Russ would just hurry up and finish, we can get to lunch quicker. That way we'll make sure we get to lunch before he does come, right? But notice he says, we don't even know the hour. The hour will come, what? When we don't think it will. Some of your translations say, at the hour when you least expect it. You say, when you least expect it. So, here's the idea. You get a tip, okay, that somebody is planning to break into your house. What are you going to do? You're going to prepare for it, right? You see, you're going to lock the house down. You're going to call 911. You're going to do whatever it takes to protect your house. What if you don't get a tip? What if, you know, what happened there in Richmond yesterday morning happens to you, where somebody just comes and they kick in your door and they come in and take over because you didn't know they were coming? That kind of thing literally happens almost every day in America. Okay? Rarely do people get a tip, say, that somebody is planning to break into somebody else's house. It happens occasionally, but not as often. Okay? And when those tips are given, okay, then the preparations are made for that thief to be caught. And what Jesus is telling us here is that's the mindset that we have to have. You're not going to get a tip. No angel is going to come and sit on your shoulder and say, "Hey, guess what? Jesus is coming back in an hour." Not going to happen. So you got to be ready. When? Convince me of that. Right now. You got to be ready when?
Now.
Right now you got to be ready. We're not even guaranteed. He might get tired of hearing me preach this morning. Okay? We're not even guaranteed to finish this worship service this morning. That's how prepared we need to be. Okay? So, we write down our plans, we make our list, we fill in our calendars, but maybe here's something we need to do. We need to write it all in pencil, make sure you give God the eraser, okay? Because not only might He, you know, come back and change all that, but He may just indeed have some other plans for you at any given day, okay? And you got to be willing to let Him make those plans. So that's just, I won't charge anything extra for that this morning, all right? Okay? So you know, write it in pencil. And don't think that he's not going to come because you got too much to do. When he's ready, when his time comes, when the time is fully come, he's going to show up. Amen. See?
Yes.
And your calendar and all the stuff you got to do today or tomorrow or any other day is not going to keep that from happening. So we've got to be prepared. Okay? You've heard me talk about many times before, you know, that line, that double yellow line that's down the middle of the road, right? You know what that's made of, right? Everybody help me out. It's paint. Exactly. That's all it is. There's nothing to keep another car from coming across that line and running into you. A couple of weeks ago, Wednesday night, we had an accident right out here on, what is that road name over there, Franklin? Ferndale. Over here on Ferndale, a head-on collision. Okay? Cindy was right behind the truck that got hit. Okay? Right behind it. The car from the other lane crossed over and hit the truck in front of her head on. I'm thankful that it didn't. That, you know, I'm sorry that it hit the other guy, but I'm thankful that it wasn't her. But my point here is that it can happen just like that at any moment. I promise you that she was not thinking as she was driving down the road, hey, somebody's going to cross this double yellow line and hit that guy in front of me. Because we don't think that way. We don't think until afterwards, and then we play Monday morning quarterback, you see. What if? What if somebody did come across the line? You see? What if? None of us is guaranteed to make it through this day, let alone we're promised to have it tomorrow. We've all got our plans. I've got my plans for tomorrow. I know what I'm going to do, Lord willing.
Amen.
See? And that's how we have to understand it. Look at what James says, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Okay? Make our plans. But there's no guarantee that we're going to be able to fulfill any of those plans. He goes on to say, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. The Lord's will. Well, what about the next part that Jesus talks about? And I've just kind of titled that In Charge or Cut to Pieces, because that describes what Jesus says in the next section. How many have you ever, you don't have to hold up your hand, how many have ever seen this from the inside of the car? Okay, some of you are honest, you're raising your hands, okay. Some of you just don't want to admit it, that's okay, you don't have to. Right? But typically, when this is going on, what's happening? Okay? What's happening is that we are caught doing something wrong, right? That's typically why the police stop you. If you see those lights flashing behind you, it's usually not good, right? Yeah, there's more of you than raised your hand know that, okay? Why? Because what they're doing is they're looking out for and they're catching people doing stuff wrong, you know, and they stop you and you're going to get a ticket because you were speeding or ran a light or whatever the case may be, right? So they caught you doing something wrong. Okay? Now, we didn't do this in my day, but there are some police departments who are actually out looking for people where they can catch them doing something right. and they actually stop them and they give them some kind of a coupon or certificate like this, you know, because they were caught doing something right. Now, you know, we didn't do that back in my day, okay? If I stopped you, it's because you were doing something wrong and you're probably going to get a ticket, all right? Because I didn't have time to be stopping people doing things right. There were too many who were doing things wrong, okay? But there's actually, and this is the, I can't read that there, the North Reading Police Department, okay? Stops people for doing good things, doing things right. They caught them, in other words, doing right, and they stop them and give them an award for doing what is right. And what's all that have to do with this text? Well, the question is, which one are you doing? Okay, read on. Verses 45 through 51. Jesus says, "Who then is the faithful and wise slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find," where? "At work." Okay? "When he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his house." So in other words, what he's saying is, when he comes back, the master comes back, he catches this servant doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he rewards him, just like the Reading Police Department. See? Catch you doing right. Catch you doing what you're supposed to be doing. But then the other side. "But if that wicked slave says to himself, 'My master is delayed.'" I mean, after all, it's been 2,000 years, right? "My master is delayed, and he begins to beat his fellow slaves, and he eats and drinks with drunkards. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect, and at an hour that he does not know. He will cut him in pieces and put him in with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, it really is this difference of being caught doing right or caught doing wrong. When he comes, there will be either reward or punishment, depending on what he, quote unquote, catches us doing. Okay? But the reality is that our Master, Jesus, has given us all something to do. He's put us in charge of something in our lives. His work to be doing. Okay? What will he catch you doing when he returns? Okay? What will he catch you doing? He says, "I'm back." Okay? That quickly. Okay? That quickly. "I'm back." Will you be doing what he says? That servant who will be rewarded? Or will you be neglecting your duties? Okay? Go back over to James for just a moment and read the last verse again. What do we need to be doing? Look at what he says. "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do it and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them." So are you doing what the Master has called upon you, what has charged you to do? Okay. What's he going to catch you at? So, what if? What if Jesus came today? Okay. Before lunch, after lunch, before you say your bedtime prayers, whatever. What if he came today? What would happen to you? How would things change in your life? Now, typically in all of the other lessons we've been talking about, you know, we've talked about the opportunity to start doing things differently as we're living this life, but this one is a little bit different because it's the end of your life. When He comes back, that's it. So, how would things change in your life? Okay. Well, where would you be headed? Another way to look at it. What if one opportunity could change your life? And that's really all it takes, is just one opportunity. Change everything. The reality that every single one of us have that opportunity. We have it right now. Opportunity that can change the direction of your life now, but also for all eternity. If you're already a Christian, there's some questions you need to ask yourself. As a servant of God, if He came back right now, what would He catch me doing? You see? So maybe there's something you need to change about your daily life because you're not doing what the Master has called upon you to do. You need some guidance, some help, encouragement to change those things. That's what we're here for. If you're not a Christian, you need to understand and know that your sins are separating you from God. And unless you have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, give your life to Christ, they will separate you from Him forever. Okay? It's that serious. The great news is that you have the opportunity right now to change that. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life. And call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is still separating you from Him. Have that sin washed away in the waters of baptism. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water's ready right behind me. Is it warm? It's warm. See? You don't have to wait. And really, here's the question. Why wait when you don't know for sure that He won't come back today? And you lose that opportunity. The invitation is open to anyone and everyone. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to sing as an invitation song. And anyone that needs to respond is welcome to. Just come up. And Ray, you're going to make your way to the back. Okay, Ray will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have maybe a private prayer or conversation with him back there. And I'll be right up front here to receive anyone like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.